What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today, right here with Francisco Rojas. It's recording this Sunday night, and but this will be out on Monday, a new episode of Phillies Today. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about today. Now, the Phillies did lose 2 of 3 to the Dodgers, and that stinks. You know, you lose 2 of 3. Would have liked to have taken two out of three, even though you swept the Padres. So you'll still take, I guess, 4-2 in the last six of this road trip, especially after going 2-4 in the homestand prior. But I will take the 4-2 over 500 or less. So you will take the 4-2 for the road trip. There's a bunch else to talk about today. Bryce Harper spoke on the current labor negotiations and the owners proposing a salary cap. And I thought he had some interesting things to say, and I wanted to talk about that, as well as Buster Olney. You might have heard this, but I wanted to give my take on it. Buster Olney named a few teams that might be in on Tarek Skubal at the trade deadline, mentioned the Phillies, so I wanted to talk about that. And an injury update on Aiden Miller. This has been a weird saga with Aiden Miller ever since spring training. Didn't even get to play in spring training, dealing with this back soreness. And so I wanted to speak on that as well. So we'll get to all of that. So just to start with, Phil's losing 2 of 3 to the Dodgers now. So you lose on Friday, and it was a weird night for Zach Wheeler. When do you ever see him give up like 4 solo home runs? That's what he did. Gave up a homer to Freddie Freeman, Otani, Muncy, and Will Smith. And the Dodgers, got a good seven innings from Justin Warbaleski, who won 7 and only let up 1 run and K'd 9 fills. So he did a great job, and the bullpen for the Dodgers also did a great job at the end with Tanner Scott coming in and getting the save. So Dodgers really no problems with the Phils in the first game. Second game, man, Phils come back. Dodgers were up 3-1 on the Phils heading into the 8th inning after curious decision by Don Mattingly to pinch hit Edmundo Sosa for Brandon Marsh in the 6th inning, but it ends up paying off where Sosa ends up hitting the 2-run go-ahead home run in the 8th inning to win the game. And we know how, look, I seriously mean this, and I think even Sosa's numbers with runners in scoring position, even his like clutch stats, high leverage numbers would indicate that, like, Edmundo Sosa, I swear, every time he has I feel like you can always count on him for a big hit. Or even his home runs, they always seem like they're big time. Even if like their first inning home runs, it seems like maybe the Phils are in a funk offensively. And it seems like Sosa's always the one, or not always the one, but it seems like every time he, either hits a home run or gets a big hit, it's either a walk-off hit, or again, like his home runs, they might be a home run to break the Phils out of an offensive funk. He might have a big night where he comes in and maybe he starts on a given night, and just seems like he just has these. It seems like he has a knack for the big moment, and that's what he did on Saturday night. And I really do feel like every time we talk about Sosa and his hits and his homers and whatnot, they always seem to there to be a big deal. And I mean, that ball barely got out, by the way, and he pimped it. And I love him. I love his pimp jobs. They are one of the best in baseball, a little underrated almost. And he pimped that. It barely got out. But, he's not Odubel Herrera. Odubel used to pimp doubles that would barely get to the warning track. Like, that's what Odubel would do. Sosa has never been that guy. But it was close, though. It was close. He pimped it he knew it got out, and it did, so you give him credit there, but it's not like it was McGuire back in the day. I think in 98, 99, he hit one, it might have been that 98 season where he hit one, over the stadium. It wasn't that, or even Muncy tonight, or today on Sunday. Muncy hit a bomb today that went, 15 rows up in right field. It wasn't something like that, but still Sosa was able to get the home run there, and Boehm had a homer in the first inning to set the tone, or at least to early. And he got a good start from Luzardo as well. By the way, it's like four straight starts for Luzardo giving up two earned runs or less. And Luzardo, no, he did not get out of the six, but he was still able to leave with a pretty good stat line. And yeah, it's been four starts since that start against Colorado where he gave up five earned at home. So, I mean, Luzardo, this is his best so far. This is four straight starts with two earned runs or less. So, it's good to see from Jesus. And so, but so they would get the win on Saturday. And then today, just the Dodgers, just offensively, had zero problems with Phil's pitching, whomever it was. Literally, every pitcher that came into the game gave up a run. It was Painter who didn't get out of the fourth. And again, this is just, I think, how Painter's rookie season was going to go anyway. And look, he did give you, his last three starts were pretty good. This start, not so good. And that's just how it's going to be. But hopefully, as the season goes on, you'll see, with the growing pains, you'll see more good starts than bad. And that's what you hope for going forward. Hopefully he can just limit these like really bad starts, which, you know, Painter didn't have a great one today, but Dodgers didn't have an issue with Painter. Didn't have an issue with Tanner Banks. Didn't have an issue with Chase Shugart or Nolan Hoffman. So Dodgers just teed off today with homers by Muncy and Ryan Ward. And I believe that was Ward's first homer of his career. So Dodgers offense doing what the Dodgers offense does, and also on the other side, especially for the World Series MVP, Yoshinobu Yamamoto struck out 10 in 5 1/3 innings of work. So Yamamoto doing what he does, and also, Yamamoto doing what he does. So the Dodgers take two of three, unfortunately, but for this Phils team, you're going to move on to San Diego now. We'll get to their series against San Diego in just a little bit. But we're going to talk about Bryce now. Bryce Harper, who did not play this entire game. And Garrett Stubbs comes in and plays first base. By the way, I don't know if he was hurt. I don't know what it was. But anyway, Harper came out and Stubbs came in. I didn't see too much about Harper coming out, but Stubbs came in. But anyway, on Bryce Harper, Alden Gonzalez of ESPN had a piece earlier today where he had some comments from Bryce Harper. I guess Alden Gonzalez covers the Dodgers for ESPN. I'm pretty sure it covers the Dodgers for ESPN and baseball in general, but I'm pretty sure mostly the Dodgers. And so Alden Gonzalez talked to Bryce Harper, it looks like. But some interesting quotes here from Bryce on some of the labor negotiations. If you missed it earlier this week, the owners proposed a salary cap to the players and would probably think that it didn't go over well. Apparently there was a cap and a floor, and, so you had a cap and a floor that were, you know, proposed by the owners. And Harper, I thought, had some really, really interesting comments and comments where, you know, I think some of the fans can, you know, some of us can relate to this. So Harper, just on some of the negotiations and the proposal, he said, "We're coming from two different areas, but we both," and talking about like the Players Association and the owners, "we're coming from two different areas, but we both have to understand our game is in a great position right now to succeed, and we can't lose that momentum," Harper told ESPN from Dodger Stadium on Sunday morning. "We can't lose that momentum as players. We can't lose that momentum as owners. So whatever we're at, whatever they're coming with, whatever we're coming with, you have to come to an agreement before any of that happens, because there's other things to do. It's not like 1994 where there was nothing else to do. It's not just, oh, baseball's here. No, there's a lot of other things to do than just watch baseball. And I 1,000% agree with that sentiment. And it's good to hear like someone like Bryce Harper understands that. But we also know Bryce Harper is a player, and you know they want their money, and they want it to be on their side at least as fair as possibly it can be, you know, from their vantage point. And you know, my thing is like, you love to hear this. I love to hear that from Bryce, and hopefully this can lead to them coming to an agreement before we have to miss baseball. But at the same time, I'm just like, I just see some of these quotes, and I just don't know how I necessarily feel that we're going to not miss baseball games. You know, Harper talked about, some of the salary cap stuff in this article, and, you know, basically explained why he doesn't think a salary cap's like the best idea. He said, I don't think it impacts what they think it impacts in terms of having an even playing field. I don't think that a salary cap does that by any means. So it doesn't matter that the floor may have been higher than people thought, even though the ceiling is still kind of low. It doesn't matter what the numbers are, so to speak. And I don't know, man. So, you know, Bryce talked about it. He said, you know, it's just the first proposal. I don't want to miss games. I don't think anybody wants to miss games. I'm getting later in my career. I don't want to miss games. I would love to get this done on a personal level just because I don't want to do that, but we'll see. And so hopefully they can come to an agreement before we miss baseball games, man. But I think it's interesting what Bryce said about, like, you know, it's not 1994 anymore. Like, it's not the last time the strike happened and you missed the World Series. Not like then. Now you have social media. You have, I guess, you know, 30 years later, you have more things to do now. And so, you know, it's not the 90s. It's not the 90s. It's not, you know, you can recover from this with the, you know, with the steroid era. Baseball is in too good of a spot. It's really gained popularity. And if they were to really miss, you know, any good amount of time next year, it really wouldn't be good for the sport, man. It really would not. And the game was, you know, popularity's point wasn't, you know, in a, like an awesome spot a decade ago. And the last 4 or 5 years, they've really worked hard to build that up. Why would the players or owners want to, you know, not destroy everything they built, but, like, you know, not capitalize and not keep going? I don't know, man, because you want to think that these players and owners care so much about this stuff that they're going to come to an agreement. But at the end of the day, they're selfish in their own rights. And you probably can see it from those standpoints as well. But not really. I mean, I can't relate to the owners. Can't relate to the players, really. But, you know, play baseball until I was in middle school. So there you go. All right. So next things next. Buster Olney, on ESPN, spoke on Tarek Skubal. I want you to listen to this. I think it was on SportsCenter. He spoke about Tarek Skubal and the possibility he gets traded, and he mentions the Phillies. Listen to this.
And yes, Tarek Skubal, who's going to be a free agent in the fall, would bring back a ton of value. And if he is traded, pay attention to some of the usual suspects, teams like the Dodgers, like the Phillies. I think the San Diego Padres will be an interesting team to watch because, obviously, Skubal could be a difference maker for that rotation.
Here's my thing, man. I would love Tarek Skubal. Are you kidding me? Of course. I think anyone would love Tarek Skubal on their team. Duh. It just doesn't make sense, man. At the end of the day, trading your farm right now for Tarek Skubal makes no sense. It's not like maybe in 2005 or 2006 when the Phillies were trying to, you know, make some wild card runs and whatnot, right? When they didn't have a freaking ace. When they had Randy Wolf and Robert Person and Kevin Millwood. I kind of like Kevin Millwood. I threw a no-hitter here. Vicente Padilla, who put some respect on his name, made an all-star team, I think, during his time with the Phillies. you know, my point being, like, the Phillies didn't have really any bona fide aces. I think Brett Myers was there too. Brett Myers was a solid pitcher in his own right, World Series champ. This isn't those Phillies teams. This Phillies team has, we're watching one of the best stretches ever by a Phillies pitcher ever in Christopher Sanchez right now. He's the ace. Zach Wheeler, who, I mean, he's amazing coming back from this injury, even though, you know, this last start, not so great, but is what it is. But Wheeler's still Zach Wheeler, I think. And then you got, you know, Lizardo, and you got, I think Nola's going to keep getting better. I really still feel that way. Nola, Lizardo, and you got Painter coming up. Like, my whole thing is starting pitching is not the issue. Like, why would you trade the entire future of your organization for one starting pitcher where you only might get on a rental? He's still a 10-year, $400 million pitcher. And I know everything coming up with the labor negotiations. It doesn't make sense to trade for Tarik Skubal. I'm sorry. And even Jim Bowden in The Athletic was talking about what teams could make sense to trade for Tarik Skubal. He said, you know, like Atlanta, the Phillies have a strong trio at the top of their rotation with Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, and Jesus Luzardo. They also don't have a particularly deep farm system, which makes them an unlikely landing spot for Skubal. So, Skubal wouldn't make sense for a couple of reasons, right? Because of your pitching, and also because the farm system's not that deep. It's a, you know, probably a middle of the pack ranking-wise farm system in Major League Baseball. You're not the Dodgers. You don't have everybody that you could go all in to trade for Tarik Skubal. You don't have that. They have worked to build out their farm system to being one of the worst in baseball to a middle of the pack one, and that's great, but they don't even have the package of what it probably would take to get Skubal. And it just wouldn't make sense anyway, because you're worried about getting an impact bat at the deadline, because Dulles Garcia is not working out right now. And even then, you probably still might have to trade for somebody. So it just doesn't make sense to trade for Skubal. I'm sorry. That's just where I am on the Skubal situation. So if you're somebody who wants Tarik Skubal, great. To a certain extent, I want him too. But it just does not make sense. And of course, like, that would be insane. Sanchez, Wheeler, Skubal, Lizardo. Of course, it is unbelievable to think about. And Nola, if he gets right. That's maybe the best rotation in the history of baseball. Okay, I get it. But Skubal just doesn't make sense. All right, next couple of things. I want to do some injury-related stuff. Aiden Miller, man, this is one that definitely got to mention. So there's been a new, I guess, twist. I don't know. NBC Sports Philly wrote down as a new wrinkle, so we can just go with that. New wrinkle, and what's going on with Aiden Miller. So Preston Mattingly, the Phil's GM, he offered an update. So he said, currently, Miller is not currently participating in baseball activities. A couple of weeks ago, on May 19th, they said he was, but now he's not. And Preston Mattingly says, I think we're leaning on medical. He's still just doing his rehab program at this point, not baseball activities. But as we've seen over the years, that could change pretty quickly here. He hasn't swung a bat. That's a big key here. And I don't know, man. I mean, it's been going backwards a little bit. Again, they went from doing baseball activities to not even doing anything. We thought this was going to be something small, and apparently he had back soreness last year and played through it, and then didn't play in the Arizona Fall League because of it, and then, you know, tries to get ready for spring training and doesn't play in any games and hasn't played in any minor league games up to this point. So I don't know, man. You wonder... I don't know. You wonder what's gonna happen with Aiden here. I don't know. They're optimistic. They're saying that they're optimistic that he's gonna play at some point in 2026. But I think this probably just about does it for the way I see it. Just about does it probably for him to get called up at any point this year. I highly doubt it unless something changes, like, you know, in an instant. But like, I don't think that's gonna happen. Everything that's going on like the last like 3-4 months, I just don't see that happening. So Aiden Miller, fortunately, not looking like he's really close to getting back on any type of baseball field. So we'll see. Other injuries and transactions to know about. Nothing really on the injury front. Just really just the Aiden Miller thing. Well, Aaron Nola did go on the paternity list, but that's not injury related. That's just, you know, he had to go on the paternity list. Max Lazar was reinstated from the IL, option to AAA Lehigh Valley yesterday. And they DFA'd Zach Pop. I was hoping Pop would work out here. I thought he'd be maybe a solid piece for the bullpen, but it did not. A couple days ago, they optioned Otto Kemp back to AAA Lehigh Valley. They recalled Stuart Baroa from AAA Lehigh. You saw him play in a couple of games. This weekend started for the Phils on a Friday night and went 1-for-3 and had an RBI in the game, but that was pretty much it. Pinch hit a couple nights ago and pinch hit today as well. So, and he might have pinch ran actually on Saturday, but either way. So, yeah. And then Nolan Hoffman was recalled from AAA Lehigh. I think that was because of Nola being on the paternity list. But either way, Nola should be back soon, I think, in time for his next start. He's slated to pitch against the Padres coming up here on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. Well, it'll be tomorrow for you. I'm recording this on Sunday night, though. So we play the Padres once again. Swept them last time. Hopefully we get the same type of result this time around. But, you know, just looking to take... go series by series. Hopefully you can take 2 of 3. And you're going to get Nola versus Randy Vasquez tomorrow on Tuesday. And then Wednesday will be Christopher Sanchez versus Walker Buehler and Zach Wheeler and Lucas Giolito on Thursday. And of course, the one big game that we're all watching. We're all watching for Christopher Sanchez to keep making history. He did that against the Padres this past week. And he's looking to do more of it this upcoming Wednesday. So Tuesday 6:40, Wednesday 6:40, and then Thursday at 1:05. So hopefully we're going to get to see some history here from Christopher Sanchez as he goes, but no pressure. I mean, it's pretty damn cool to see what he's done up until this point. All right, that will do it for another episode of Phillies Today. It has been Francisco Rojas, and I'll talk to you guys soon.